Galatians chapter 3, I want to read the first 14 verses here. On this Easter morning, a little bit different, I'm not just going to speak about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm actually going to be talking about the results of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, or who has hypnotized you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed in you." So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. As I mentioned before, I was praying before the Lord, asking Him what message He would want me to preach on this Easter morning. And I am fully confident that this message and this passage and its explanation is for someone here this morning. I am persuaded that this is the Lord's will for us, as I could be of Christ being raised from the dead. That's a lot of persuasion, isn't it? And so I pray that this passage, if you are a believer, that you would grow in grace and be strengthened in your inner man. If you're here and you're not saved, I pray that you will come to Christ, the only one who can redeem you from your sins and give you life, eternal life. And if you're here this morning and you are relying on the works of the law, now that's whether the works of the law is capital L, referring to the Mosaic law, or whether it's a little L, referring to the laws that you make in your own conscience, that you will see that by the works of the law, no man could ever be justified. Now I'm going to use the word justification. Justification is a theological term. Paul uses it here in this passage. And basically all it means is this, that God justifies you, meaning He declares you righteous. Justification is not making you righteous, it's declaring you righteous. It's like a courtroom situation. You are declared righteous. You have been justified. And so I'm taking for granted that the majority of us probably know the good news of the gospel, that it was promised in the Old Testament scriptures. Amen. all the way from the book of Genesis at the fall of Adam and Eve. It's the good news about God's Son, that he came to the earth. He took on human flesh as a descendant of David, just like it was foretold and just like God promised. And that God's own Son was openly manifested as having all power by his resurrection from the dead. That is a resurrection that was accomplished by the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God. That is great news in and of itself. But there is ramifications to that news. Now the Galatians had heard what I just proclaimed to you. They had heard through the Apostle Paul, evidently. He was there, he was sickly, he had some bodily issues that was there, and in spite of that, he proclaimed to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they heard it, and they saw it by faith, and they believed, and they were saved. And very soon after that, there came some other people into that church. And into the churches of Galatia came people who did believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but they also believed that a man or a woman was not justified only by faith, but it was faith plus the keeping of the Mosaic Law. In other words, the people of God was comprised not of those who just heard by faith, but those who heard by faith, plus the keeping of the Mosaic Law, specifically what law? That is the law of circumcision. And so they came and they proclaimed that through the Old Testament scriptures. And Paul would not put up with that, no, not for an instance. And he says to them in Galatians 1, I'll read it to you. He says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting or abandoning him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. So what I just described to you right now, hearing by faith, plus the works of the law, whether that be capital L, which was what Paul's talking about, or little L, little laws that you make yourself, if it's Christ plus anything else, it is a different gospel, which is not a gospel at all. It's not saving in any shape, fashion, or form. He says that in Galatians 1 and verse 7. It's really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now note Paul's attitude, his spirit about this. He says, but even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. So whether it be another human being, or even if it's a heavenly spirit, if they preach any other gospel to you than that which Paul preached, he is not favored by God, he is what? Accursed by God. He's going to repeat it. He said, we've said it before, I'm going to say it again now. If any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. Paul didn't pull any punches. He wasn't saying that, you know, I'm just going to be quiet about this. He boldly proclaims his love for Christ and his love for the gospel by proclaiming it's not faith plus anything of our own works, of our own merit. It's Christ and Christ alone. Paul words it this way, and I'll read it to you, but listen very carefully. He words it this way in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. Paul says, I want to be found in Christ. That's what we all want, amen? We want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own derived from law. Everybody hear that? Okay? There is a righteousness that does come by law. But Paul says, I want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from where? The law. So that's on one side of the coin. Then he says, I want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So what we know is this. There are two righteousnesses. Everybody see that? On one side of the coin, over here, you've got the righteousness which is from the law. Capital L, the Mosaic law. Little L, any laws that you make up of how you think you're moral, how you think you're good, how you think you're better than someone else. That's on one side. And in direct contrast to that is a righteousness which comes not through the law, but through faith. A righteousness, not my own, but a righteousness that comes from where? Comes from God. Everybody see that? Okay? There's no overlap. There's no gray area between the two, right? It's this on one side, that on the other side. On this side, the person thinks to themselves how good they are. Even if they think that their goodness comes from Christ, they think to themselves, I am good. On the other side, a righteousness which is from God does not say how good I am. It says how good He is. Everybody see the difference? Okay? One says, like the Pharisee in the temple, God, is he praying to God? I thank you. Is he giving thanks? God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. What's he proclaiming? His own righteousness. Everybody see that? Whereas the publican, he stands off from the side and he says, God, be merciful to me, a what? A sinner. And if God shows him mercy, that publican doesn't take credit himself. He gives the glory to God and God alone. So there you have two righteousnesses. And every human being on the face of the earth is in one of those two categories, even if you're in a local New Testament church. Right? Okay. Paul says, I want to be found in Christ, not having this righteousness, but a righteousness which is by faith, the righteousness that comes from God. Paul would never say how good he was. But I would say this, that before his salvation, he thought he was very good. How good? Blameless, he said. That's amazing, isn't it? And so we have those two righteousnesses, and the Galatians had heard the gospel. They had heard the righteousness that comes from God through Christ on the basis of faith. They had heard that and they had believed it and they had begun to run well. But now someone else has come in preaching another gospel, which is not really another gospel. And so he begins here by talking about the blessing. I'm here in Galatians 3, the blessing of justification. Now remember what I said justification was? It's being, what's being? Declared righteous. Being declared righteous. Not being made righteous. That's what Roman Catholicism believes. But being declared righteous. This blessing of justification, this blessing of being declared righteous, was promised to Abraham. Now it was prior to Abraham, but it was promised to Abraham. And it was promised to Abraham and his seed. Abraham had two different type of descendants. He had earthly descendants, like the dust of the earth. We call them who?
Jews.
The Jews. Israel. Judaism. And he had another descendant, which was heavenly. It was from God. And that is his descendants that were like the stars of the heavens. Everybody see that? God says, your descendants are like the stars of the heaven. God says, your descendants are like the dust of the earth. One is earthly, one is what?
Heavenly.
Okay. So here's Abraham, who's given that blessing of justification, being declared righteous, and it is called the Abrahamic Covenant. And that covenant was confirmed by God and by God alone. In other words, it wasn't God and Abraham making the covenant. It was God and God alone making the covenant to Abraham. God is telling Abraham what I will do on your behalf. Amen? Which is what Christ did. So that Abrahamic covenant was confirmed by God alone. And God alone would be the guarantee of that covenant. And God alone would be the guarantor of that covenant. He himself would do it. So that we can talk about not only the Abrahamic covenant, we can talk about the blessing of Abraham. It is the blessing of credited righteousness. It is the blessing of being declared righteous. It is the blessing of being justified. Everybody with me at this point? Everybody with me? Nod your head if you're with me, okay? So here is this church at Galatia. And what Paul is going to do here in these verses, he's going to do what we call proof texting. He's going to quote a verse and state a conclusion. Or he's going to state the conclusion and then he'll give the what? He'll give the verse. All right? And so I want us to follow down through here, because what Paul is aiming to do here is to prove to the Galatians that the gospel is by the hearing of faith, not by human works at all. So, if Abraham was promised this blessing, and it was promised upon his seed, then how does that promise come to us? And that is what Paul is saying. And so he starts off by asking the Galatians this. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but just to get the background. He states to them, all right, verse 2. This is what I want to find out from you, Galatian. I want to find out that when you receive the Spirit, that's another way of saying when they got what? When they got saved. Because when a person gets saved, they receive the third member of the Godhead. In other words, they get life. This is what I want to know, Galatians. When you received the Spirit, did you receive it? Think back. Did you receive it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Now, what do you think their answer is going to be? It is by the hearing with faith. So they think back all the way back to when that apostolic company was preaching. Paul's preaching. He's preaching the gospel to them. And they heard it. And they believed God. And we know, do we not? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Paul's preaching the word of God just like I am right now. So they would have read this, the church would have heard it read, and they would have read this, and they all would have thought to themselves, well, it's with the hearing of faith we receive the Spirit of God. All right, verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Well, that would be foolishness, wouldn't it? I mean, if I got saved by the hearing with faith, why in the world would I want to go back to works? Right? But this is the argument that he is making. And he says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it is in vain? I'm going to ask you another question, verse 5. Does he who provides you with the Spirit... Now that's another way of saying this. The messenger who preached this gospel to you. See, if I preach the gospel, yesterday we had a funeral, I preached the gospel. When I'm preaching the gospel to them, what I am indirectly doing is offering to them the Spirit of the living God. Because if they believe that gospel, what do they receive? The Holy Spirit. And so we asked him, now when the messenger came, and he came, and he came to you to provide the Spirit, did he do that by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? The answer was what? By the hearing with faith. That's the message that he preached. Then he says, all right, and when this messenger did works of miracles among you. Now, that is referring to the apostolic miracles. Paul was an apostle. Could he heal? Yes. He could do all these things. He could raise from the dead. Peter did that. Okay? This is only for that apostolic company. Those gifts are no longer in existence. We have the Word of God ourselves. But he does ask them. He says, now, those supernatural miracles that you saw that confirmed that we were genuine messengers from God. All right? Did they do that by saying, all right, now before we heal you, here's a bunch of rules? Or did they do that by the hearing with faith? Answer, hearing with faith. Okay, so he goes all the way back down to the basis of that. And the Galatians would have said, hearing with faith, hearing with faith, hearing with faith. All right, now verse 6, Paul's going to go into the proof from the Old Testament. And before we read it, I want us to turn back to Genesis chapter 15. And I'm doing this just so you can see this with your own eyes, because the authority of the gospel that I'm preaching to you doesn't lie in me. It lies in what you're looking at in your lap or on your phone. It lies in the Scripture that God has promised. I am just a messenger declaring what God has already promised. That's it. So as I preach to you the gospel, that's my authority. It's God's authority Himself. So Genesis chapter 15. Here we are in the life of Abraham. And you know Abraham was brought out of the Ur of Chaldees. The God of glory showed unto him and said, leave your father and your mother. I'll show you a land that I will give to you and to your descendants. So he leaves the land of the Ur of Chaldees. He ends up living in Hebron. And then after his father dies, the God of glory shows himself to him again, and he leaves from there to go to the land of Canaan. He's now in the land of Canaan. He's there as a pilgrim, not as an owner, but he's there as a pilgrim. And God comes to him because Abram and Sarah did not have a wife. They didn't have a child. They didn't have a descendant. They didn't have an heir. And so in chapter 15, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Evidently, Abram was concerned about the nations that were around him. There was an element of fear. So God says to Abram, I'm going to be a shield around you. That's a blessing, isn't it? I am a shield to you. And your reward will be very great. So Abram says in verse 2, O Lord God, what will you give me? I mean, he was a wealthy man. He could have had anything he wanted, right? He was rich beyond measure. God had given him those riches. O God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? In other words, what does Abram want? He wants a son. And he's close to 100 years old. And Sarah's close to 90. Those aren't exactly fruitful childbearing years, right? And he wants a son. And so he says, God, what are you going to give me? I want a son. And in verse 3 he says, Abram says again, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is an heir. Now between verses 2 and 3 there must have been some silence or there must have been some further praying going on, whatever it was. Abram says twice, I don't have a what? I don't have a son. I don't have a seed. I don't have a descendant. Verse 4. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this man will not be your heir. That is Eliezer of Damascus. This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. So what's God promising him? He's promising him a son. And then in verse 5, the word of the Lord took Abram outside. So Abram must have been inside a tent. He must have been at that sacred place where he's calling on the name of the Lord. And the word of the Lord takes him outside, and the word of the Lord says this. Now, Abram, I want you to look to the heavens. And you can imagine back then there was no outdoor lights. There wasn't any of that. It would have been dark, and the only thing he would have seen would be the stars in heaven. Look now toward the heavens and count the stars. Now, I am sure Abram didn't start going 1, 2, 3. I think Abram immediately knew it's uncountable. Right? Look to the stars and count the stars if you are able to count them. Now God counts them. And he said to him, now note this, so shall your descendants be. In other words, God's promised him a son. Now listen carefully. A son who will be the heir. And that through that son, there will be many descendants. Now remember I told you Abraham had an earthly descendant, which would have been what son? Isaac. And what people? The Jewish people. And now, but he's not talking about as the dust of the earth. He takes him out and says, I'm going to give a son to you, Abraham. Now, look to the heavens. The descendants, through that promised son, those heavenly descendants will be like the stars. It will be uncountable. And Abram understood. And the Bible says that Abram believed that God could do this. He believed God. And know what it says in verse 6. Here's our verse. Genesis 15. Then he believed in the Lord, and he, that is the Lord, reckoned it, he imputed it, he credited it to him as what? What does it say? As righteousness. Everybody see that? All right, now I'm going to ask a question Paul didn't ask. Did Abram receive the blessing of this by the works of the law? No, the law hasn't even been given. Did God say, now, Abram, if you obey, then I will do it? Did God do that? No. In other words, Abram had righteousness credited to him by the hearing. Did he hear the word of God? And believing. Faith. Everybody see that? Okay, everybody with me? You're not nodding your head. Okay? There's no law there. There's no moral code there. Even though Abram is, he's a good man as far as the world would say, but not by God. Okay? He got that blessing of being declared righteous by faith, by hearing the word of God and believing who? God. That God had the ability to do that, and he was fully persuaded that it was going to happen just like God said. So now we're back in Galatians. Paul quotes that. In other words, what he says is this. Look, Galatians, you came to know of the gospel by the hearing with faith. The messenger who preached it to you did it by the hearing of faith. The miracles that were done in your midst were done by men who were saved, messengers by God, by that same hearing with faith. All right, what about Abraham? Well, verse 6, even so, just like you, even so, Abraham, now look at the text, believed God and it was reckoned to him as what? Was it Abraham's righteousness? Or was it God's righteousness being credited? Answer, it was God's righteousness being credited. Now look at verse 7, because he quotes Genesis 15, verse 6. Then he makes a deduction. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the, now it says sons of Abraham, seed of Abraham, descendants of Abraham. Earthly seed or heavenly? Heavenly seed. Everybody with me? Like the stars that are in the heavens. So what we know here is this. How was Abraham declared righteous? Well, very simply. He heard the word of God, and he heard with faith. The Galatians had it the same way. People who are Abraham's children are people who are also of faith. And brethren, this is exactly what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 8 when he said, he told the Jewish people this. If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the deeds of Abraham. What was the deeds of Abraham? He heard the promises of God and what? Believed God. They were not doing that. The Jews were not doing that. If they were genuinely Abraham's spiritual seed, heavenly seed, then they would be doing the same works Abraham did. What did Abraham do? Well, he didn't have any works of his own that he could claim. All he did was hear with, can we say it? Hear with faith. That was it. Everybody see that? So that's the conclusion that he comes. He quotes the verse, and then he makes that conclusion. Then he goes on, verses 8 and 9. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify, declare righteous, the Gentiles by what? By faith. In other words, not Jew only, but Gentile too. That's who we are, right? We're not Middle Eastern. We weren't raised under Jewish homes. At least, best of my knowledge, none of us were. And yet, all right, we're Gentile people. All right? But the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel, this good news, beforehand, to who? Look at verse 8. To who? He preached it to Abraham. All right? I want to know, when did Abraham hear the good news that Gentiles too would be saved by faith? Well, it was not in Genesis 15, it was in Genesis 12. And here's what it says. Look at verse 8. He's going to quote it. All the nations. Everybody see that word? Nations. All the nations will be blessed in who? Everybody see that? All the nations are going to be blessed in who? Abraham. What was the blessing that came to Abraham? The blessing of a righteousness from God. How did Abraham receive it? Not by the law, but by the hearing with faith. All right? That hearing with faith was not only for the ethnic Jew, but it was also going to be for Gentile people like us. In other words, folks, Gentiles being saved isn't a New Testament thing. It wasn't plan B. Okay? Plan A failed, Israel rejected, so we got to do plan B, and plan B is the Gentiles. No, no, no. Plan B was always plan A. That in Abraham, know what it says, I love this, all the nations, any nation, any ethnicity left out. No, all the nations can have this blessing of Abraham brought to them. So those nations, the scripture foretelling that the Gentiles too would have the blessing of Abraham, Genesis 12, when the scripture spoke that the nations would be blessed. So here's the conclusion. Was Abraham blessed?
Yes.
Help me out here. Was he blessed?
Yes.
All right. What was the blessing? It wasn't money. It was justification, being declared righteous. How did that come to Abraham? By the hearing of faith. Hearing with faith. All right. Is that only for the earthly seed of Abraham? No. It was for all peoples. Because Genesis 12, when God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees, he said that to him. All the nations would be blessed. So here's what we conclude. We conclude Abraham was saved by the hearing with faith. We conclude that a Jew, can they be saved by the hearing of faith?
Yes.
You look at Paul, you look at Peter, you look at the apostles, you look at those who came. What about Gentiles?
Yes.
In other words, brethren, we're all blessed by the very same way. Years and years ago, my wife and I attended a church and joined that church. And shortly after we joined the church, the pastor resigned. That was nice. And so here we were. We needed another pastor, and they did. They brought in another pastor, and very shortly after he got there, this is what he preached. He preached that Gentile people are saved on the basis of the hearing with faith, but Jews were not. Now, I'm not interpreting what he said. That's what he said. Well, would you have a yellow flag, a red flag, okay? So I went home, got my Bible out, because I wanted to make sure. I just didn't want to, you know, pull the gun out and start blazing, okay? I wanted to make sure that I was right. And I went to Romans 10, eventually went to Romans 10, and it says, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that what? Call upon Him. And so I called for a meeting with the pastor and the deacons. And I presented my case. And the pastor did not budge. And the deacons joined him. So I said,
"Goodbye."
Yep. The sister over here is doing the hand wave. I said, "My wife and I will not be back." Was that too strong? No. That man was accursed of God. And we did find a church that preached the right gospel. So folks, this isn't just some theory out in the air. People actually believe this. So, the blessing of Abraham. It can come on us by the hearing of faith. Now, Paul's going to go in, verses 10 through 14, and he's going to now address, well, what about the Mosaic Law? Was there a Mosaic Law? Yes. Is there a Ten Commandments? Yes. Was there a Moses? Yes. Well, what about that Mosaic Law? Well, he's going to tell you. You're here in Galatians chapter 3. Go down to verse 19. He'll tell you later. We're not going to cover it. But he'll tell you there. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promises would be made. So the seed, the heavenly seed, the child of promise, as it were, from God, was the Messiah, Christ. The earthly seed that was promised was who?
Isaac.
Everybody see that? Okay? So you have this Abrahamic covenant that's going, and it's going all the way from Abraham, and it's kind of like going along here. And then the law, God brought in the law alongside that covenant. Why was it there? Because God wanted to show people their sinfulness. The law was never given to save. The law cannot give life. The law can only show us where we fail. Right? If I was to say to you, here's the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. Would you dare stand up and say, I've done that? All your thoughts, all the motives of your heart, all your actions, all time? Can you say that? You can't say that. When I say that, you ought to immediately know you're a sinner. And those laws were given and those sacrifices were given. They were copies of the true which is in heaven, which Christ was going to fulfill. All of that was there on earth as a picture to man that he's a sinner, and it was going to demand a bloody sacrifice in order to atone for those sins. And so there's no life in that. So in verse 10, he makes a statement. For as many as are of the works of the law, in other words, the law says do this, and you're trying to what? You're trying to do it. For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse. So anybody who says to themselves, well, I do believe Christ is the Messiah, but I need to work my way to get there. Christ will help me work my way there. There are actually people who believe that. No. If you're trying to get there by your own righteousness, you are cursed. Just like Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel than what I preached, he is what? He's cursed. People who are under the law is cursed. Now, folks, why is that? Look at verse 10 again. For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it's written. Now he's going to give you the proof. And the proof is Deuteronomy 27, 26. And here's the proof. Cursed is everyone, any exemptions? Cursed is everyone who does not abide. Now look at the next three words. By how many things? all things written in the book of the law to do them. Everybody see that? Folks, and here's the stumbling block. Here's where men just refuse to believe this. Men and women do not believe that God could ever demand perfection from a human being. I can't tell you the number of people, Jew and Gentile, who have told me, God can't require me keeping all the law. He knows I can't do that. People will say, I can't do that. That's the point. Okay? But if you say to yourself, well, I can't do that, but I can do a couple. You know, maybe I can do 50%. Maybe I can do 20. But God can't require perfection because He knows nobody could ever be perfect. Nobody could ever keep all the law. And it's kind of like this, brethren. And, you know, I think it works like this. I'm only going to take one law and I'm going to use speed limit. Okay, here's speed limit. I'm going to make up something because I didn't look it up, okay? Speed limit 60. Everybody got that? 60 miles per hour. Okay. And the fine for breaking that is $300. Okay. I don't know if it's $300 or not. Okay. $300. Everybody got it? Did I make a law? 60. Penalty? $300. All right. Now tell me what you think. Here's a guy. He gets in. He's got a, you know, Corvette. He's got a souped up car. He takes off. Flying down the road, speed limit 60, he's doing 80 plus. Like 80 plus. Policeman pulls him over. Serve a ticket? Yes or no?
Yes.
How much?
$300.
All right. So let's say another person's going down. They got a Toyota. And they're going 70, 10 miles over the speed limit. Okay, policeman pulls them over. Ticket? Penalty? You agree with that? You fine with that? Okay. Let's say there's a person going down the road, he's going 65. 65. You break the law? Deserve a ticket? $300. 5 miles over. You agree with that? All right. But let's get really technical here. Law 60. Fine is $300. Policeman pulls you over and he says, you broke the speed limit. You say, I didn't break the speed limit. He says, my radar says you were going 60.1. Now, what do you think about that? $300 for 1/10 of a mile over the speed limit. What do you say to that? Well, you're not nodding your head. Okay, let me ask you, was there a law?
Yes.
Is going 60.1 breaking the law?
Yes.
Should you get a ticket?
Yes.
Should it be 300?
Yes.
See, now we're slowing down. We say, well, no, not 300, maybe 20. Okay, no, I'll tell you what, I'll go before the judge and I'll just say, 0.1, come on, judge. There's people out there passing me all day long going 90. Zoom, 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 zoom. You pull me over, I'm going 60.1. You broke the law. A lot of people say, I always keep the speed limit. I never go over the speed limit. You can be with them 2 or 3 days and you go, beep, right there. I'm not going over the speed limit. I'm going 60. That's what the law says. No, but that sign said 35. In other words, folks, how many of us are lawbreakers?
Oh.
How many?
All.
And not only that, you just don't break the law. You didn't just sin against the law. You sinned against the lawgiver. It's not, oh, I broke the third commandment. No, you sinned against the lawgiver. Who gave the third commandment? God. And that law stands as one. You break the law, you jump the fence over any part of that fence, you broke the whole law, because the law is not little parts. It's not law one part, law two part, law three part, I'll jump here but not here. It's one continual fence. It is one fence, one law, you jump it, you sinned, and the soul that sins shall die. That's the penalty. I don't care if you sin 0.1 over it. You are that lawbreaker. So what do we conclude? We conclude that all have sinned. You agree with that? No exceptions to that. All have sinned, and a man is under the death penalty if he does not do everything written in that law. Everything. If it's the Mosaic law, you're talking about the Ten Commandments. You agree with that? You're also talking about the sacrificial system. You're talking about that whole Mosaic law. You got to do how much of it?
All of it.
You can't select what you want to do. So, are we all in agreement? How many people are under the curse of the law? All. And you say, well, I'm a Gentile, I'm not under Mosaic law. Well, good for you, but you make laws in your head all the time. And I can prove it. How many of you have ever made a law that you're going to abide by a diet? How many of you failed it? How many of you said, now, that diet's too hard, I'll get a lower diet? Folks, we break our own laws of conscience. We justify it. Well, I can break that law because I was late to the hospital. I had to get to the hospital, so I can break that law. You are a sinner. And you can't get righteousness. You can't be declared righteous by your keeping any law at all, because you'll break it. And remember I told you there's two ways. One over here, my own righteousness, which comes from the law. Over here, the righteousness, which is by faith. Those are the only two ways. And folks, it is plainly seen quickly in verse 11, these two ways in the Old Testament. Paul writes in verse 11, now no one is justified by the law before God. It is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. In other words, I'm going to word it this way. This is Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. A justified man, a righteous man, lives. Everybody see the word live there? Lives how? By faith. Everybody see that? All right. So it's evident by Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 that the righteousness is not by the law. You can't be justified by the law, because the righteous man shall live by faith. But verse 12, the law is not of faith. On the contrary. Now look at verse 12. He who practices them shall live by them. Everybody see that quote? That quote is from Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 5. And folks, here's what you want to see. I got a little line in my Bible. You may want to put a line here. Between the phrase, shall live, verse 12, shall live, verse 11. Everybody see those two verbs? Shall live. So here you have two ways of living, right? A righteous man, a man who's been declared righteous, he lives by faith. But verse 12, the law says this: he who practices them shall live by them. Now I'm going to replace the pronouns so they'll help us. Folks, a law-practicing man lives by what? By law. Everybody see that? A law-practicing man lives by law. That's what Leviticus says. And Habakkuk says, a righteous man lives how? You see the contrast? And folks, that is self-evident if you draw the line between those two verbs, shall live, between those two passages. So, we're all cursed. What happened? Abraham's seed came. Who was Abraham's seed, singular? Christ. He was the son promised from heaven. And in verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse in our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And that is from Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 23. The sinless Son of God, the promised heir. Yes? Heir of who? Abraham, according to the flesh. That promised heir took on, the Son of God took on a human body. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was the sacrifice. He obeyed the law perfectly. He performed all things that are written therein. And he died on a tree. He died on a cross, did he not? The law says anybody who dies on a tree, dies on a cross, is cursed of God. And that's exactly what the Pharisees said to him. But folks, he didn't sin. He was laid in a grave and he rose from the grave because death could not hold him, right? Well, if death can't hold him, and that proves that he's sinless, because the strength of death is sin, then who did he die for? Us. We all cursed under the law, whether that be a capital L or little L. He took on that curse upon himself. He became our sacrifice. He was truly the Lamb of God. And so here's the conclusion. There is an Abrahamic covenant and there is a Mosaic covenant. One is a righteousness which comes from God by faith, the Abrahamic covenant, because that's how Abraham was justified. The other is through the Mosaic law. It's by law keeping. Law-practicing people live by what? Laws. So what do? They thank God they're not like other people who break those laws. A man who gets righteousness by God through faith, he thanks God because he is as guilty as every other man. And it's what God has done for him through Christ that he glories in. And that is a result, verse 14, of this. He did this so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham, that is justification, might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of what? The Spirit. How? Through faith. Folks, law-keeping can never give you what you need. You know what you need?
Christ.
You need life. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You need life. Eternal life. The law says do this, and if you don't do it, what? You die. That's it. But in Christ, you can live. Are you saved? Does Christ know you? Have you come to Him? Folks, if you came to Him saying, it's my prayer that's going to save me, you're wrong. Yes, we do call on the name of the Lord for us to be saved, right? But your prayer doesn't save you. Christ saves you, or you're not saved. And He will receive you if you come to Him believing His promises. That He is who He says that He is. He will redeem you. He will give you life. He will make you a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away, everything new. Hallelujah. That's Easter. But if you're just adding to your little to-do list, you know, avoid hell, pray prayer. That's not trusting Christ. Folks, do you know the Lord? And may He grant you that life today. Let's pray.